about looking for a great time, okay? Amen. It's not going to be, but just very few short days. We start getting stuff for Christmas in the works.
Redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Just stay up here a minute, Brother Jason and John. We'll try a couple of verses, one more here in just a second. Boy, it's good to see all of you out this morning. I'm telling you, I'm just heartbroken over this terrible, terrible weather situation. But I'm glad you got out, and we do have more on their way. A lot of folks coming. Two of my girls are supposed to be on their way. Corey and they can't even get down their hill. Brother Derek said they can't get up their hill. He's got a big hill at least. He said it's solid ice going like that. And don't have four-wheel drive. And the ice is actually worse than it was last time. So let's pray. Chased a state truck for about 3 miles this morning, waving my arms and hollering at it. And finally chased her down over here. And she said they wouldn't let them scrape our road. And then I guess I started feeling guilty because they finally came out here and did it a minute ago. So praise the Lord. Let's pray, and then we're going to have another song, and we're going to have just a little short Sunday school lesson. I would just go ahead and have one little service and let everybody go, but I know there's going to be a lot of people coming at 11. So let's have a little Sunday school. I appreciate y'all being here. I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for these faithful men like Kurt and all you folks. I mean that. And thank God for it. And we're gonna pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Miss Desi snowed in. Sue and them was coming, and they've had a death in the family. Pray for them. She just called a while ago. And so a lot of folks having problems. Remember Brother Boyd? He's been sick. Hazel's been real bad off. She fell again, you know, here a while back. I know every time I talk to them, they say, we really, really want to be at church. But they can't. They can't leave her. And so they're sort of taking turns with her during the day. And so let's pray for them. Does anybody want to mention something, anything right quick? We'll have a word of prayer here this morning.
Yeah, Brother Dan, we had a girl at New Mammoth, some of you remember, Eva, stayed with Jerry and Corey Lewis. Was talking with her the other day, and she was just recently diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Mm. And she's living down in Clearwater, Florida, and she's asking the church to pray for her. But and it's just found out it was this severe, so don't know what's going to happen to her. But pray for her.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right. I talked to her yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, let's pray for Opal. Many of y'all know Miss Opal. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we will thank You for this day. Thank You for our health and our strength and all the many blessings of life that You've given us. Lord, I'm glad and thankful that we have this beautiful Sunday to get out and come to church. We know that there's so many of our folks that would love to be here. Mighty Mike and all them, Lord, and their heart is here. And Miss Desi and all of the ones, God, that want to be here this morning and can't. I pray that You'd bless them. Bless those that are coming on later. I pray that You'd bless every person that shows up today. Take care of us, God. Watch over us. Give us a good day. Lord, move in here this morning. Touch hearts and save souls. And God, do something here this morning that we'll long remember. And bless those that are getting ready to come on for the preaching service. Give everybody a safe trip here and back home. Lord, I pray for all these special needs and requests. Miss Opal, Eva down there in Florida, and a lot of other people that need our prayers this morning. Dear God, I pray that You'd bless them. I pray, God, for all the Brother Boyd and Hazel and Mom and all of them, God. I pray that you, Miss Kerr's Mama, that you'd touch her. Lord, help us this morning, God. Do something real in our hearts. We love you. Help us be a blessing to somebody along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's do this time. Stand, and we'll sing again. And if y'all don't mind, everybody just, y'all come into these two center sections, and we'll try to get everybody right here, if you don't mind. Okay, let's all stand. If y'all do that for me, I'd appreciate it. All right.
Amen. Another song probably won't need a book for, Amazing Grace. If you do need a book, number bottom of number 57, we'll sing all four verses of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's all sing it out.
Jason and his family will sing, and Kurt got a song. You and Squishy got one, ain't you? Yeah, you do. Who does? I know it. Amen. Kerrigan's got one. She gets here. Supposed to have a song on her heart this morning. And you know what? The world says how foolish it is to believe. And the world this morning, well, we're about the only church in town having service this morning. I guess y'all know that. I think there's a few that are having it at 11. But we're not doing this because trying to make a statement or saying we're spiritual or anything like that. I just believe in going to church on Sunday. I always have. And I believe if you can, you should. If you can, you should. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, you should. And I believe that. And I appreciate everybody coming out this morning. You may think, well, it's useless. But I remember hearing a story one time about this little boy, young boy, about 11 or 12 years old. And I forget which one was, some great famous guy. And it was a real bad snowy night. And they said he went to church because he wanted to go to church on Sunday night. And he just went, and there was only like three or four people there. And the preacher preached. And that boy got saved. He became a great evangelist. So, you know, we sometimes think God has to have a big crowd. He don't. The Lord could do something in our hearts this morning that would be real. And I believe that, and I believe He will. So, I tell you what we're going to do. We'll have to take just a little study here. If somebody's here this morning got a message on your heart and you want to get up here and do it, right now is a good time to do it.
But if not, I'm going to give you a thought here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at a verse of Scripture here, and we'll just have a little short lesson this morning, and then we're going to have a little break and have some singing, and we will get out of here early this morning. And, of course, the youth service tonight will be postponed on next Sunday night. We'll just wait till next Sunday to do it. Is it really? Maybe we ought to wait 2 weeks, and then we can advertise it. You're right. You're right. I mean, it's hard to get lost people to come on. My goodness, I didn't know the Super Bowl's next Sunday. I hate Super Bowl. Who's playing in the Super Bowl?
New Orleans.
I never even heard of the Colts. Good. I hope it snows 8 foot. 8 foot, wherever they're having it. Ephesians chapter 4. Doggone it. We could have it in the morning. We could do it Sunday morning. That's a thought, because we'll have our bus kids here too. Satan's number one target, our bus kids. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. All right, look here what it said. But speaking the truth in love. You know, that's what we need to learn how to do. A lot of times these Baptists speak the truth but don't do it in love. And then the heathen, they got a lot of love, no truth. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, two middle words of that verse are grow up.
That's right.
Grow up. And let's do a little study on growing up. Leaf's not here this morning, is he? I'm going to tell you a story about Leaf. I rebuked him about a year ago. And I didn't even really mean to. But the Bible says this. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I think just like we're supposed to, I mean, you know, as you get so old, you are supposed to grow up. And our churches are full of babies, spiritual babies. Spiritually speaking, babies, I'm telling you. They get their feelings hurt over the least little old thing, ready to quit over little old things that don't go their way. Most people quit church over stuff that ain't even a scriptural matter. Most people that I've seen quit church has got nothing to do with... Most church split over stuff that's not even scripture. It's over them buying a lawnmower and half liked it and half didn't, or something like that. Or some of them saying, I was for this and they was against it. But anyway, let me tell you a story about Leaf. And don't tell him I told you this. Leaf told me the other day, I said, man, I'm proud of you, Leaf. He's laid off when Leaf's laid off, he's out looking for work. He called me, said, brother, they ain't need anything done. I'll cut limbs, clean leaves, cut together. I mean, he'll work. That boy will work. And I appreciate him for that. And I said, Leaf, I'm proud of you. You're doing good. You're working every day. You're getting out here. He said, it's because of what you said to me. And I didn't remember saying it. And he said about a year ago, I was talking to him and Jason. And, he's 23, 4 years old. And he said, I told him, I said, boys, there comes a time when it's time to put your marbles up and quit playing like a kid and start being a man. And he said, right then, he said, I decided I'm a man. I better start acting like one. And, you know, we got a lot of folks... 35 and 40, still, they just ain't got it. It ain't sunk in yet that the world is not a playground. We still got some 40 and 45 years old sitting on a car hood out at Hardee's on a Saturday night, right, being like a teenager. And I mean, they just ain't got it. You know, those kids say, he just don't get it. Well, a lot of folks just don't get it. Amen. We're not supposed to stay babies. If I brought little Austin there. Austin, raise your hand there so everybody can see. See him right there? What if I told everybody in here that Austin's birthday was last week and he's 42? Everybody'd say, oh my goodness, something's wrong with that kid. What is wrong with him? He's a fidget. What is wrong with that guy, little fella? And you know what? We'd think, there's something wrong with him. Now, that's the same way it is spiritually, people. I know people have been going to church ever since I've been saved, and they don't know a bit more about God, the Bible, than they did 20 years ago. We say, oh my goodness, what's wrong with them? What's wrong? Still a baby. Still a baby. We're supposed to grow. Now, our attendance is growing. Not today, it's not. Our attendance is growing, but are our attenders growing? Now, give them about 5 more minutes and anybody comes in, count them Sunday school, Jonathan, and we'll count that, and then we'll take up offering here a little bit. But anyway, the attendance is growing. That's good. But are our attenders growing in grace and in knowledge? So let's think about that for a minute, and I'm going to give you a few marks of kids, of a baby. I'll give you some marks of a baby. First, children, young people that are not immature, are impatient. They want something right then. They want it right. They don't want to wait. Christmas candy. Impatient. Children are impatient. They don't want to wait for nothing. When my kids are little, when they start crying for their bottle, they want it right then. Right then. And they don't understand that you have to get it out of the refrigerator, put it in the microwave, and put your finger in it. That's what I always did. I put my finger in it, and then Mom said, Danny, put your finger in it. When it's a little bit warmer than your finger, then that's, give it to them. And I said, all right. They don't understand you have to do all that. They think, what? On the bottle right then. And you know, Christians, I know so many Christian churches is just like it. Why ain't this happened? How come we ain't seen a great revival? How come we came out? How come it? We're very, very impatient. You know, sometimes it takes years and years for the Lord to answer prayers. Sometimes it old George Mueller was one of the greatest prayer warriors ever been. He prayed 57 years for some people, and some of them didn't get saved. Like he prayed for them for 50 years, and a couple of them got saved after he's dead and gone. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't be in such a hurry. Things don't always work out right when we want them to. And buddy, I tell you, Americans, we are the worst in the world.
Yeah.
We want it right then. And I'm bad as anybody else. I'm the same way. Been that way all my life. But I tell you one thing, as I've got older and as I've been in the Christian life long, the longer I've been in the Christian life, the more I've realized that it ain't going to hurt you to wait a week or two. It ain't going to hurt you to wait even a year or two. It ain't going to hurt. Sometimes we need to learn some patience. Somebody tell me how that you get patience. Tribulation. Tribulation is trouble. You know how come I've got patience now? You say, you ain't got no patience. You should have seen me 30 years ago. But I'm telling you, I've got a lot of patience now compared to then. You know how come I've got patience now? I had trouble. Trouble. Tribulation, work of patience.
Right.
Some man went to the altar one time. He got down and said, Lord, give me patience. And somebody said, you better shut up, man. What you're saying is, Lord, will you knock my head off? Will you let me have a car wreck or a heart attack? Don't ask the Lord for patience. You know, tribulation, work of patience. You just better ask Him to give you grace and help you to grow up, grow in the Lord. Children are very, very impatient. You know why children are impatient? They have no trouble. Older you get, more trouble you have, the more patience you get. Let me tell you something else about spiritual babies. Babies, children, are stingy. Are stingy. It's hard to get them to share their toys. I've seen kids grab their toys and grab their toys like this and hold them. So they're brothers and sisters. And buddy, church members are exactly the same way. Church members are to heck with everybody else. I'm going to protect me and my family, and it don't matter. I ain't sharing. I'm not giving nobody nothing. I'm telling you, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. When a person won't give, pay their tithes, honor the Lord, it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Babies, kids are stingy. Remember, we fixed snow cream the other night. I kept waiting on Krista to get home. I said, Krista, I want snow cream, but I ain't going to fix it if you get here. She finally got there. This snow made some good snow cream. Did anybody else have any? It was good. It was a lot better than that last time. Man, I got me an egg and beat it up, poured in the vanilla flavoring, put milk in. My snow cream tastes just like Breyer's ice cream, except it's got more flavor in it. It's good. I whipped it up, beat it up. And I got that snow cream, and I got me a bowl of it about that big. that beer in about that high. I was sick when I got through. I had a stomachache the next morning. And I fixed Chris a big bowl. And I told her, I said, when I was little, I remember when I was little, when it snowed, we'd beg Mom, Mom, please make snow cream. Please make, please, please. And she'd finally make some. And I would honestly eat it, get a headache. You know, it starts, your head, you eat it too fast, you get a headache. So my sisters, so I could get more than my sisters. Because she'd only fix it one time. And I'd go back, you know, you fill your bowl up. And I remember hogging that stuff down, trying to get another bowl for my sisters. And I thought, what a sorry brat. Think about that. And I mean, I got patience now, and I still hogged it the other night. I gave Chris a little bitty bowl. But she said she didn't want much. But now I got stuff at home. I can fix all I want. But I've learned now not to be so stingy. Not to be so stingy. A mark, when somebody is stingy, you say, oh, I know a man, he makes a lot of money and he's tight and all that. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity. That's what that is. It's a sign. When a man is mature, he's not as stingy. Babies, children are stingy. We used to have to, you've heard me tell it, we used to have to share drinks. You know, Mom, they'd buy a carton of drinks. When I was a little kid, you just had one size of Pepsi. You didn't have 2 liter and 1 liter and half liter and all these different. You just had Pepsis, carton of Pepsis. That was it. Dad'd get a carton of Pepsis, and we'd have to hype on them things. I get hyped, my sister get hyped. Before we'd fight, we'd fuss. I told them I spit in it. I said, I spit in that. And they said, did you? I'm not drinking that. And I said, I wouldn't drink it if I was you. I spit in it. And that's awful. That's a mark of spiritual babies. Spiritual babies. And don't y'all look at me like that. Y'all, you was just as bad. Listen, how many of y'all ever done this? Watching TV on the couch, and your sister or brother's laying over there, and you're kicking them like he is, kicking them. And then you draw an imaginary line right there and say, you can't put your... How many's ever done that right there? Saying you can't cross the line. You didn't say never done that? Buddy, we did. We'd be laying like this, and I'd say, Mom, she's on my side. You know, kick her like that. And boy, we'd get so mad at each other, we couldn't stand it. That's a sign. Now, I don't do that now. I don't do that now. We got two couches. Don't have to worry about it. But that's a sign of immaturity. That's what that is. That's a sign of immaturity. And you watch these people that's always saying, well, it's my parking place, and he got my seat. And the churches are filled with people like that. They even got their name on the end of the seat, man. And you better not sit in their seat either. You'll get shot. They own that thing. They'll cuss you out. Their parking place, he got my parking place. You know, they got my seat. It's a sign of immaturity. All right? I'll tell you another sign about children. And I'm going to stop here in a minute. We'll take a little break for the preaching service. I'll tell you another sign about spiritual immature babies. They get their feelings hurt easy. Kids get their feelings hurt real easy. Last night, I was over at Carrie's and Daxton, and Kerrigan wanted to come home with me. And I said, let's go. And we was loading them up out there, and Kerrigan pitched a fit because she didn't get her car seat, the car seat she wanted to sit in. And I said, honey, we're just going over to my house. No, I don't. She's a real drama queen. She makes everything is a big deal. Everything. If she saw snowball melting right there, she'd say, oh, the snowball is melting. It ain't never going to be here. You know, everything's a big dramatic scene with her. Well, she decided she didn't want to. Oh, is she coming in? I ain't going to talk about her. She's coming in. Hey, Sarge. I ain't Kerrigan. I said, come on, honey. Go home with me. And she said, no. Like, you know, and I thought, I've seen church members act just like that. Grown people act just like that. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, grow up. Bible says grow up. You've heard me say it 100 times. In America, we're a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. Brats. And people over in Haiti, they showed them over. A lot of them had their hands up praising God because they were spared and living under a sheet. Can't take a bath. They ain't got no food. They can't take a bath. Some of them ain't had a bath in 3 weeks. And they still praising God. And here, if something happens, we'll say, well, I've served God all this time, and why is this happening? We get mad. You know, so Let's not be, get our feelings hurt so easy. Let's see. I'm gonna skip a bunch of these. I'll just give you one more and I'll be done. Tell you something else about kids, real immature kids. They don't like to eat what's good for them. They don't. They don't like to eat what's good for them. All they want is candy, Pepsis, junk food. Amen? I mean, when Dax and them, they do like that. Here, you say, here, honey, eat your hot dog. No, I'm not hungry. You know, here's some cake. I want some cake. You know, they have an appetite for junk. And we do too. I do too. The difference in us now is we eat the food and the cake. We still got the appetite for the junk, but we eat food first, amen? But when you're little, you just want junk. And all they want is cake and candy and ice cream and Pepsis and stuff like that. And you need more than that. They need meat and milk and bread and potatoes and stuff that's good for them. Do you want to say something? What? You eat a Reese's cup for breakfast. Who gave that to you? Krissa. I had cereal for him in there. Good, sweet cereal. I had it left for him. He ate a Reese's cup for breakfast. You tell your mom you give your first testimony when she gets here. He's like Daisy. He did his first witness. But, perfect example. Reese's cup for breakfast. And you know a lot of people, you know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? We just feed off of the little sweet things of the world and we don't want to meet. That's why the Super Bowl is candy. It's sweet. Get in here and talk about the judgment seat of Christ. That's meat and potatoes. And babies don't like to eat what's good for them. All right? I'm going to stop right there. Anybody got a question? We'll take 5 minutes and then we'll start preaching service. It's going to be short. So, y'all, let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this good little service this morning. It's been sweet. I pray that you'll prepare our heart for the preaching service and those that are coming on in. Have your way in our lives. We love you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's have a little break here now. Have a little break. Have a little break here now and we'll start the preaching service. Get the choir ready, our choir. Everybody here is going to sing the choir.
Be done. Wonderful power in the blood. There's
power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
That's good singing. I tell you what, that's good singing. Our best singers are here this morning, I can tell. Amen. Well, we got some other folks coming this morning, so I want to say good morning to all of you. We got less snow, but evidently the roads are worse. Everybody's talking about the ice and can't get out, and I've been getting texts and phone calls all morning. And somebody texted and said, they said on the radio that no churches wasn't having service or something, was we having it. And but anyway, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Make sure you're at home. We're gonna have a real little short service this morning. I'm gonna mention a couple things. We're gonna take up our offering since we got all the rich people here today, and it won't even be no different than normal. You watch. So Kurt's got a song on his heart, him and Squishy, and Dax is gonna give his testimony again. Dax gave his first testimony in Sunday school. It was amazing, wasn't it? Wasn't it, y'all? It was good. I ain't kidding you. It was good. We was talking about kids and their appetite, and Dax gave his first testimony. He's like Daisy. He did his first witness. Amen. All right. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We got a lot to be praying about this morning. Let's pray for those that are sick. And is Coach Newton finally coming in? Is Coach Newton here? There he is, Coach Newton, ladies and gentlemen. He had a game last night up in Chicago somewhere and didn't get in till early this morning. But, huh? Okay. But Coach Newton made it this morning, so I think him and Debbie could sing a song. Since we just got a small crowd, Dax give his testimony, Kurt and Brother Mike Slaughter's got a song on his heart this morning. She said, "Now he can sing." That won't say nothing for the rest of them. But. All right. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Seriously, we got a lot of people to pray for. Sue called me this morning and said they'd had a death on the other side, Fred's side of the family, and I guess we're going on down there. So let's pray for them and ask the Lord to help us. We had a good Sunday school, sure did, and. We got some good activities planned for today. Instead of having the youth service, we're going sledding over at the deaf school. So bring your clothes to change into tonight. And the old sorry clothes, and anybody wants to, Jason's got a big old tube about as big as this pulpit. And we've got sleds, and we'll go over there and sled some after service tonight. But we'll just have a little short service here and then go over there. Amen. We'll have a short service here because it's so bad you want to hurry and get home. Then we'll go sled for 2 hours. That's the day we're living in. Sick, ain't it? Sick. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine outside. Lord, I'm glad we're reminded that no matter how bad the storm is, that the sun always comes back. Glory to God. Lord, we believe that no matter how bad this world is, that you're going to bring us through. And we'll come out on the other side in the sunshine, in the glory of God. I pray that you bless everybody here today. Lord, I pray you bless those that really want to be here, like Mighty Mike and Miss Desi and Sue, all these people that want to be here, Brother Derek, and that can't. And I pray that you bless them just as if they were here. I thank you for everybody that's come out. I pray you give us a good day and a good meeting this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us here to realize this is not just a little formality that we're going through, but we're here to worship. And I pray that you would meet with us this morning and help us to worship you. Have your way in our hearts now. Do what ought to be done. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make us a little choir and we'll sing one right quick. Everybody, come on. Come on. Just play something, brother. Everybody will. Come on, let's do it. Bring somebody new. Somebody new needs to be in the choir. Boys. Come on, there they go. Here comes one. Here comes another. Let's go. We'll sing something everybody knows. Here they come.
come down. Turn around there and shake hands. The ushers are going to come.
Everybody stand.
Fellas, look around a little bit.
All right, just remain standing. We'll take up our offering this morning. I'm glad all of our good givers are here today. Amen. Won't even be able to tell the difference, I bet you, because all of our givers are here today. Brother Ray, Kurt, bus worker, Jonathan. Amen. Big Ray, all of our big tithers are here this morning. He's a big tither. Sean back there is a big tither. He don't give him my money, but he's a big tither. Let's all give this morning. Honor the Lord. Seriously. Seriously. I hope I've got mine here. Part of mine. And a check from Miss Kerr. And we won't be praying for her mom. Been real sick. She sent us a check for $110. She does that a lot. And so, you know, the Lord bless her for that. Let's pray. And everybody give now, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'd bless this offering this morning. I pray that you'd meet the need. Dear God, you know what it is, and I pray you'd meet it. Have mercy on us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Get right in the message. Amen. Dax, got your testimony ready again? Has he not got it ready? It was good in Sunday school. Tell everybody what you had for breakfast. It was good in Sunday school. You don't want to tell everybody what you had for breakfast? Good time. All right. Anybody else want to test? Oh, Sister Kerrigan's up here. That there makes a noise. folks. Amen. All right. Get me down just higher, Brother Andy. All right. Does Kurt, you and Squish, you got yours? Brother Mike, you got yours? I'm serious. If you don't sing, get on it. Micah's got one? Amen. So is Sister Tracy going to help him? Good time for somebody to sing. I had never done it. Look, a small crowd like this. Smallest crowd we've ever had. At least the littlest crowd we've ever had for anything. Anybody? All right. I remember hearing a story. I told you. One time, it was a bad, snowy Sunday evening, and a little boy, about 12 or 13, wanted to go to church. And he went to the church, and there wasn't nobody there but the preacher and two or three people. And he said he snuck in, and he could hear the preaching. And that night, that boy got saved and became a wonderful, great evangelist. So there's no such thing in God's eyes as a little church service that don't mean nothing. This could be the morning that God touches one of these kids and really gets hold of their heart. It could. And I don't take it lightly. I take it just as serious as if I was preaching in front of 1,000 people this morning. Because God's Word is, that's how important it is. So I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 126. 126, and I just want to be, we'll be real brief and we'll go get something to eat. Psalm 126 this morning. And I'm going to show you something here in the Bible that I love this scripture and give you a couple comments about it and we'll go. Now we will have church tonight at 6. Bring you a change of clothes and we're going sledding after service tonight. Good time to do it. I guess there ain't no school tomorrow. And so we'll have a little time of fellowship tonight after the service. Psalm 126, verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I love that verse. I love it. The Lord hath done great things for us. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, I want to preach for just a few minutes on God has been so good to me. God's been so good to me. I love the Lord this morning for two or three reasons, and I'm going to give you them this morning. I was thinking about our church, and I'll talk about it more in a minute. I was thinking about this building that God gave us. There has not been one church in Burke County started in the last 25 years that's really got off the ground going good that I know of. God's been good to us. God's been good to me. He's been good to you. And I will say a few things about it this morning. And first thing I want to say is God's been good to us because of giving us families. You don't realize how important and much your family means to you till they're not there. My dad's been dead nearly 20 years, 19 years, and I think about him all the time, and sometimes I dream about him. But I thought, God's been good to us by giving us a family. Just if you've got your family, and I mean not all of it, maybe you're in it with a stepmom or stepdad or kids or whatever, but still, if you've got family that love you, the Lord's been good to you. Lord's been good to you. I love the thought of having a family. Every year at Thanksgiving, we look forward to going up to my sister's. And we all go up there. And the food's wonderful. And I love it. But you know what's good? Family. If I was there with a bunch of strangers, it wouldn't be near as good as knowing your family's there. When the girls are here, I stand up there in the parking lot this morning. And I want to see them vehicles coming up the driveway. And I thought, my girls, somebody back there said, they're all here now. And I said, nope. We got one. Their driveway's that steep. And somebody wasn't smart enough to leave the vehicle at the bottom of the hill. But they're iced in this morning. And she said, Daddy, we can't go nowhere. But she's not here. The other two are. But I thank God that we've got a family. You know, when it comes right down to it, when it comes time for you to die or you're going through a hard time, you know who's going to be there? your family. You'll have some friends like we talked about the other night, but it's your family. It's your family. Many of y'all know Brother Ken Young. He's a friend of mine up in Marion. And Ken used to work in the juvenile ministry a lot. He'd go over there to Swannanoa and preach in that juvenile center. And he said they was over there preaching, all them boys, 14, 15, 16 years old. And he's in there preaching. And Brother Jason, Ken told me, he said, we was over there. And he said, I preached this boy. And this boy said, when he got out of juvenile center, he got home and his parents had moved. They didn't know where they was. And they didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't want him to find him. And they had moved while their kid was locked up and left. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, boy. I tell you what. My mom and daddy would have never done that. Thank God for our family this morning. If you've got one person in you, you may not have your mama or your daddy, but if you've got a brother or a sister or a child or just somebody that loves you, that you're getting, you ought to thank God. He's been good to you. God's been good to you. Amen. God's been good. Instead of fussing about having to come home at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, you kids ought to thank God you got a mom and daddy that cares enough about you to want to know where you're at night. Some of them don't. Some of them don't even care where their kids are. You ought to thank God that my mama cares that I ain't out here beat to death somewhere or laying in a ditch or in a crack house somewhere, not even knowing where I'm at. Thank God that I've got a mom and daddy that cares enough about me to fuss at me when I'm out of line, to straighten me up and to put me back. You ought to thank God for your family this morning. God's been good to us. I remember my girls. I mean, they all three. I remember them growing up. When I first seen the Lord working in their life, it thrilled me. And I always told them, I heard people say that you're not supposed to try to push a kid into getting saved when they're little, and I agree with that. You shouldn't. But I always told them, I said, now honey, when you're ready to get saved, you come and tell me. You tell me when you're ready to get saved. And I got that opportunity with all of them. And I can tell you about it sometime. But I remember one time, we was all out at Walmart, or somewhere up there in Marion, giving out tracts. And Carissa, at that time, was about, ever how old she was when she was going through that phase of gymnastics. I don't know how she was. She went through a phase where it was gymnastics, brother. I mean, if you've ever had a kid that goes through a phase, and she got to turn flips and stuff like that. And we was all out one time giving out tracts. She was about that high. And I said, here, honey, get out these tracts. And she went over like this and handed a tract to somebody. And the man took it and said, thank you. And she just went, whoop, and turned the car wheel. Right out in the parking lot of the shopping center. Oh, amen. That's what you do. You know, when you get excited and the Lord, you just turn a car wheel, brother, for the glory of God. Amen. That thrilled my heart. Amen. I like, you know, I got, you know, stuff like that. Money can't buy. Stuff like that is priceless. And you're just your family. I went and seen Mom the other day. Mom was sitting there like this, and she's sitting there, and it's almost a blank stare on her face. Like it's her body, but she's not even there. And I said, Mom, how are you? She said, I'm fine. How are you, son? And I kissed her right here on the head, and I took her stuff and I fixed her some ice cream and sat there and talked with her a little bit. And even though her mind is not all there, she still knows me. She still knows the Lord. I took my guitar up there one day and took a song book and I was there like that and I'd do like this. I'd start like this right here and I'd say something like, I'd hit a chord and I'd go, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness. And she'd take off singing like that. I'd say, sing the wondrous, and she'd say, love of Jesus. Yep. Knows all them songs word for word. Like that old guy that said one time, he said he had Alzheimer's disease and his mind had left him. And they said, they come in and his son said, Daddy, you know me? I'm your son. He said, no. And his daughter came in and said, Daddy, I'm your daughter. You know me? He said, no. Who are you? I said, well, Daddy, you know Jesus. Woo! I know who Jesus is. You know, and when you can't even remember your mom, Daddy, you can remember Jesus. But anyway, we ought to thank God for our family. We ought to thank God for our family. And if your family's not together this morning, even if you've got one person in your family that loved you and be good to you, thank God for it. And maybe you don't even have immediate family. You've got a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter or an acquaintance or somebody that loves you. We ought to thank God He's been good to us. Let me say another thing. I'll tell you something else we ought to be thankful for. God hath been good to us with our health. With our health. Longer I live, the more I realize that good health is a blessing from God. You can hurt, brother. You can hurt in this old body, and it changes everything. There are thousands of people your age and my age down there in Winston-Salem and Duke and over in the Asheville Memorial Mission and everything that with tubes running in their body that have been diagnosed with cancer, car wrecks, everything in the world. And buddy, you and me felt like getting up and kind of, listen, it might change by tonight, but thank God we feel good today. The Lord's been good to us. If you can just think, if you can just see, if you can hear, I mean, just being able to hear is a blessing. Just being able to see is a blessing. The Lord, I know y'all sitting there saying, well, brother, you do without it a while. Well, I mean, if you were blind for a day or two, you'd shout next Sunday if you got your sight back. If you was deaf for a week or two, you'd shout next Sunday if you got your hearing back. If you didn't have an appetite, you'd shout next week to get your appetite back. Think about it this morning. Well, I'm saved. I'm in my right mind. I can see, I can hear, I can think, I can talk, I can remember, I can feel, I can taste, I can swallow, I can think. I mean, God has blessed us with our health. We ought to thank God for it this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? That's right. I tell you something, brother. I remember visiting that Baptist hospital. I was talking to Todd last night, and I was telling him about, I'll never forget that little April Birchfield. And remember little April Birchfield was down there in that hospital in Winston-Salem. And she went up at about 7 or 8 and when she got cancer, I don't know, 6, 8, 9, somewhere like that. And that little old girl, just like one of these little kids. And buddy, she lost all her hair, and then they had her in there, and they said she was dying. And I'd go down there and pray with her. And Lisa, her mama, would sit there, and they'd just sit there, and big old tears coming. Listen, it'd be awful to lay there and watch one of your kids have to suffer like that. And I'm telling you, it don't matter how important they are. It could be the Queen of England's kid, and ain't nothing they can do about it. Rich or poor, they're all the same. Thank God He's blessed us with our family and our health. God's been good. The Lord has done great things for us. Oh, we're glad. Oh, thank Him and praise Him this morning just because we're healthy. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad I'm healthy this morning. And I ain't putting on, buddy. I'm holding back. I feel good down in my soul because God's blessed me with good health. And I mean that. I've got to travel all over the United States. I've got to preach revivals. God's been good to me because of my health this morning. Amen. Amen. I got to go to Georgia week after next, and then I got to Florida two or three times this year. And if the Lord lets my health stay good, I'm planning on going. Hallelujah. I am so thankful. He blessed you with health. If you get up every morning and you can eat, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. Amen. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I'm telling you what, brother. You go to the hospital down there in Winston-Salem. They got one whole floor where it ain't nothing but babies and kids laying in there. And they look like, honestly, almost like little monsters where their cheeks are sunk in and have no hair and their skin just as white as my shirt. And they're laying there with tubes and they're going down there. And the parents live in there most of the time. And I mean, that could happen to us before it's over with. If your kids is in good health this morning, y'all thank God. Lord been good to you. Lord has been good to you. Let me say one more thing and I'll be done. We'll go. We ought to thank God for His great salvation. How good God has been to us that we live in a part of the world where we heard the truth preached. Now, I know people say, well, y'all just believe that because you grew up in the South and all that. Well, we believe it because it's right. We just happened to get blessed. We didn't do one thing to deserve this. I could have been born in some jungle somewhere, grew up worshiping a rock or a tree or the flowers or the sun, and died with AIDS and went to hell. But God has let me grow up in North Carolina where we have clean air, clean water, and heard the King James Bible preached, and I got born again, and I'm going to heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God's been good to us. I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't got no family, and you ain't got good health, if you're saved, God's been good to you. God's been good to you. Don't ever... I think one of the worst things about TV is that the more you watch it, the more you want stuff that you ain't got and can't never have, and it makes you think, poor little old me. You know, they put people in there, and they're driving the Rolls Royce and Jaguars, and their house is big as this church building here, and all that, and you think, yeah, but 99% of the world don't live like that. We're in good shape compared to most people. Everybody in here is rich compared to most people. Man, I've seen them people in Haiti. You see it on the news? They are living under a sheet. They got a sheet sticking up, and 8 or 10 of them living under there. No water, no clean water, can't take a bath, no food, unless somebody brings them a box of it. And I'm telling you, ain't nobody in here that bad off. We talk about how poor we are. Ain't nobody. We're rich compared to them people. I mean, this right here, what we're sitting in here this morning, this is a palace. This is a palace, brother, compared to the way most of the world lives. And then we're going to heaven on top of that. God's been good by letting us go to heaven when we die. I'll tell you, sometimes I gripe. Sometimes I start feeling sorry for myself, poor little old me. Sometimes I start thinking, pitiful, look what all I've been, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think, and it's like a little voice says, yeah, about 5 minutes in hell, you'd straighten right up, wouldn't you? And I say, yes, sir, I sure would, Lord. 5 minutes in hell would straighten me right up. If the Lord dropped us in hell for five seconds, I'd learn my lesson. I like these boys going to jail. You know, they said this boy's been put in jail over and over and over, and he don't never learn his lesson. Well, I mean, man, I tell you, about one night in jail would cure me. Wouldn't it, you? I'd say, okay, I get it. No more of that stuff. One night I ain't never been in jail, but I tell you, I've been in there busy, and when they slam that door and lock it, I don't like that feeling. And I tell them, I said, man, I hate y'all to stay in here, but I'm getting out.
Yeah.
And I'd hate, you think about hell. You think about being in hell, and you can't get out. And you're screaming. And you're burning. And there ain't no water. Think about that. You do believe that, don't you? If you don't believe that, you sure are a nut coming to church on a snowy morning. And if you don't believe that, you're a nut. And if you do believe that, then it ought to make a difference in our life. God's been good to us. No matter what happens, no matter how bad we have to suffer, no matter what we have to give up, no matter what we lose, if we're going to heaven, we can say, God hath been good to us. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I just want to give you a little encouragement this morning and say,